Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson, who's actually in the room with me, which is awesome. How you doing, Cody?
Great to be back in the room, in the studio. This will be fun.
Great to see you live. Yeah. Great to see you live. And we've got Karen Amador, against her will, joining on the podcast.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. Karen's an introvert. She's like, I don't want to be on your podcast, but she has good things to say. So here's what's our topic today, Cody?
The talent war is brutal.
Yes. Not beautiful, but brutal. The talent war is brutal. And we are just seeing more and more signs of what is going on out there. And we're just going to have a roundtable discussion about what this means, why it's true, and how we can try to win. Because winning this war, if you're an organization, winning the war for talent is winning the war in your business or in your organization. So we've never seen anything like this before. We have more unfilled jobs than ever. And yet there's plenty of people that are unemployed. So there's people that don't have jobs, but we just can't find anybody to take jobs. And what we find is that businesses are reducing their hours because there's no employees. Service levels are dropping fast. And it's a really hard situation. And I think what it's going to do, it's going to separate organizations. I think some are going to push hard and thrive, but a lot are going to slide into mere survival, if not death. I think we're going to see a huge separation of organizations that win the talent war, and the ones that don't are going to have a hard time surviving. So what we're really talking about here is, more than ever, is how do we retain our best people and attract and grab the best people from other organizations who are increasingly unhappy.
Right.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
And what's so interesting is, normally the supply and demand curve is like, this is so anomalous, right? Like, there's tons of people out there, and you would think that many of them either left a job or got terminated or whatever it is during this time. So the pool out there should be better. This should be the time that organizations are thriving, saying, we kind of have our pick of the litter and we can attract new talent, people that fit our culture. And it's not happening. Like,
I was an econ major, and this defies all the curves.
Absolutely.
Karen, remember the driver we had yesterday? We were in Arizona, and this guy said he was making $1,000 a week not working.
On unemployment. Yeah.
And his company said, we need drivers, because he drives for one of the car driving companies. And he was like, I could have stayed home and made 48 grand. But he goes, no, I didn't want to do that. My dignity is too important. I really want to be busy. And I don't want to just take money for staying home alone. But there's a lot of people out there who are really having to make a decision. Should I just stay home and watch game shows, or should I get back out there and work? And it's pretty profitable to watch game shows today.
He said a lot of his coworkers chose not to go back to work. But because he was such a principled man, he decided, no, I've had enough unemployment. I don't need it anymore. I'm going to go back to work.
Well, and what's funny, Pat, I loved what you said earlier today, which is, we always think of, you know, get the right people on the bus. And for us, that's the humble, hungry, and smart mentality, right? So what you said earlier, I thought was brilliant, is like, well, we've kind of got a filter for who's not hungry right now, which is they don't have the drive to want to go back to work. And so in some ways, this might actually be a separate, like, the cream is rising to the top. The people who are applying for jobs are the ones that have that hunger. But then you go out in the real world, and I have friends who run a gym who are trying to hire a trainer, and they can't get one to work. They can't get somebody in the door. I've even heard of, like, restaurants in our area that are offering like $1,000 sign-on bonuses and different things just to incentivize people to start to work. But you're right. How many restaurants have you been to that are closed on like a Monday afternoon because they can't find the personnel to actually staff it?
There's a coffee shop. It's Phil's Coffee. So it's like a chain. It's a professional chain of coffee shops. And I think the Starbucks is the same way. I went by there at 2 o'clock the other day to get something, and it was closed. And they just had a sign that said, we're out of employees. We have nobody to work here. And I went to, more importantly, to KFC/A&W. You know how those are together? Yeah. I love me a root beer freeze. And I went by there a couple months ago at 2 in the afternoon. I said, nobody's here to work. Sorry, we're closed for the rest of the day.
That's terrible.
How does an economy work like that?
No freeze for you.
No, exactly. It's probably good for me. But Karen, we were at a conference yesterday with all these CEOs. Mm-hmm. Now, these were really dynamic CEOs of small to medium-sized companies. Mm-hmm. They were at a conference wanting to learn how to get better, how to have healthier, more successful organizations. And they did a survey, a live survey. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what they asked them and what we found.
So I think one of the questions they asked was sort of like, what are the biggest issues as a leader in your company and owner? What keeps you up at night?
Right.
What keeps you up at night? And very quickly, the number one priority and concern was hiring enough of the right people.
Right. Over
overriding.
Over their competitors, like, over cost issues, over everything.
Yes.
Even sourcing and, you know, supply.
By a huge margin.
By a huge margin.
Yep.
Everybody there said finding enough of the right people.
Mm-hmm. Was that a question? What did you tell them? What did you say? Hey, here's what you should do right now, leaders, teams. What are your thoughts?
So what I was there to was to talk about humble, hungry, smart, mm-hmm. and the working genius, and then the five dysfunctions, the three stages of building a team. And I said, first of all, be really good about finding people who are humble, hungry, and smart, and go after them. And keep the people you have that are like that. So it's never been more important to have a healthy organization, a good culture, because for this shortage of people, the good ones are going to stay at the right places.
Right.
And it's not just about money. In fact, that we all know that's not the primary driver. It's you've got to do the most you can to keep your best people because they're in scarce supply.
Mm. So Pat, it might be worth defining what your best people looks like. What do you mean by that? Good people?
Yeah, the best people are the ones that embody your values. I mean, and they're the ones that like you know that if they're struggling, it's not because they have a bad attitude, it's because they're in the wrong role. Mm-hmm. And they're the kind of people you just don't want to leave. They're the kind of poster child for your organization because they're bragging about your company. They're going above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And in a time when people are less and less willing to do that, you've got to really value those people. But I think the most important part of my answer, Cody and Karen, is that what I told them is you're going to have to get more out of the people you have. And I don't mean work them harder. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, and this is where we got to the working genius. I said, figure out who is underutilized in your organization because you don't know what their gifts are. Mm-hmm. And like, so do the working genius as a team. And they were taking notes and writing this down. And I said, and then look at your team map and find out who's being underutilized, who's being overworked because people are not actually working in their areas of strength.
Right.
And if you do that, and we're finding this out right now, Cody,
yep.
is that we have people that we're freeing up to do different things in their areas of genius and they're getting more done.
Yep.
You know, and so that's going to be key right now because we're not just going to be able to solve this problem through volume. We're going to have to make sure we're really putting people in a position to get the most done in what they're great at.
Well, and I would add too, if they're working in their genius, so to speak, that promotes loyalty and they will want to stay on their own.
Right.
And what else happens when you're working in your genius, there's less
burnout, all of those things. Well, you know, I think it raises this really interesting, like if you were to take a step back and look at this, maybe it is about, we talk about providing human dignity on this show. Like we think that work should be dignifying, right? And that's why we talk about the dynamics and culture at an organization. And so it would actually be great if what happened is that, I love what you said, you didn't finish the whole thing, but you said, we say often, and you do, is money is a satisfier, not a driver.
Right.
A driver is when you feel dignified and utilized and that your gifts are appreciated and that you're building something that's greater than yourself. People love that. Now, this would be a great thing for our economy if most of the jobs that were just money oriented, that weren't dignifying people, that weren't helping them build into something greater actually sloughed off. And the ones that stayed were the ones that where people felt known, understood, and appreciated for who they are.
Right.
And so maybe there is something to be said for a KFC being closed at 2 p.m. in the afternoon if what we're doing is taking those employees, finding them roles in organizations where they can actually utilize their skill set. And I think what you said, you know, Karen, what you said is like, first you have to define what your culture is. This is now an opportunity for businesses to say, to be as public about what their cultural values are as possible to try to attract
people. Otherwise, nobody's going to want to go
there. How do they know? Yeah. How else will they know?
You know, that's a really interesting point. As I was just thinking about this is maybe those people that are willing to stay home because they're getting unemployment. I mean, that frustrates me. It actually frustrates me more that we haven't figured out as a society that we're not doing them a favor. People who need unemployment, who can't work or they're impaired for some reason or they work in an industry and there's nothing else to do. God bless them. We need to help them. But people that are choosing to stay home for the wrong reason, that's not a good thing. But part of the problem is sitting home and watching game shows or playing video games should not be more attractive than working at a great company.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us come to work because we have to. We come to work because we like being together and doing things and it feeds us. So for those people, what they're saying is, listen, I wasn't being fed anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it's not just their fault. Maybe it's that the organizations need to make a better proposition for why you should come to work and what you get out of that.
I know. I was going to say, I think staying home, I think if push comes to shove, they're going to tell you they're not happy.
Right.
Because they're not contributing. Yeah. They're not working, they're not feeling like they're part of the team. Sitting at home by yourself and twiddling right. your thumbs is not exactly satisfying.
The problem is after you've done that for a while, you start to lose your...
Well, you lose momentum.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing.
Well, and in some ways, this, as your organization, or if you're a leader or a team member or whatever, like this could be somewhat of a gut check to know whether or not you're providing that level of dignity and satisfaction for your employees, or if it's just a paycheck for them. Because if you wake up one day and half of your employees are gone and they'd rather stay home than be there. I mean, we talk all the time about like, hey, if I won the lottery, that'd be great. And we'd go have fun for a while, but I don't want to stop working. I love what we do, you know? Yeah, I think that is the underlying piece of this is if you're creating an organization that actually is utilizing people, making them feel appreciated, understood, and
where they have shared values,
right?
So they fit.
Then they would rather be a worker, even if it's even trade, you know, like, hey, you can make X amount of dollars staying home watching videos, or you can go to work and do this and work at this company. I think the people that are opting in, that's great. You know, the organizations that are creating that environment for their employees.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, go ahead, Karen.
No, I was just going to say, and I think those types of employees that are working for these excellent companies, they would be willing to, at least for the short term, work extra hours or work even harder.
No doubt.
To make up for the shortage that might exist in the companies because they are so bought into the culture and because their managers and leaders know them and do all the right things.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is we've had this conversation on the podcast, I'm sure before, because really what this comes down to is the incentives. Like I bet people are sitting around going like, how should we incentivize employees to come back? Is it more pay? Is it more this? And every time we've talked about this, it's really about if you have a healthy organization, one where people are cultural fits and feel like they fit into a greater vision, then that's more of an incentive than bringing your dog to work or $1,000 sign-on bonus or daycare at your organization. But too often we go to the smart side of the equation again, even in circumstances like this, and we decide, hey, what do we have to do to get more employees? And what they'd rather do is tweak the dials on, well, what can we offer them without having to do the hard work of creating that healthy organization? What could we just offer them so that we get a warm body in the seat?
You know what's funny? I was thinking about this, Cody, as you were saying that, and I was thinking about this the other day. These places are saying $1,000 signing bonus for being a waiter at our restaurant. Something tells me it'd be better if to pay people to interview. Say, we'll give you $50 just to interview. Because I want to meet people and find out, now let me tell you what it's going to be like to work here and how great it's going to be and how we're going to care about you and how the colleagues you're going to work with, you're going to want to be with. But most people are thinking of it as an economic decision.
Yes.
And what they really need to do is come in and be exposed to something and find out if they like it.
Totally. Well, it reminds me of Tony Hsieh's book, The Delivering Happiness, where they would interview onboard people and then offer them $2,000 to leave. You know, and now look at where we're at. It's a totally different scenario.
You know something? That should still apply. That should still apply because even in this area of shortage, having the wrong people in your organization is more frustrating to the people that are there. Mm-hmm. And we should be just, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we should be just as aggressive about kindly in a dignified way moving the wrong people out because that often keeps the right people from coming
addition
in.
Addition by subtraction.
Yeah, or at least helping them to opt out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas my friend Bobby says, making them available to the market.
That's right.
But in a dignified way.
Yeah.
So I think this is such an interesting thing. Maybe, just maybe, this will be a time of like a renaissance in companies realizing they better make the culture of their organizations great because they have to in order to keep good people.
Yep.
And maybe then the other companies that want to survive are going to finally say, I better do that too.
Yep.
As opposed to, hey, I can keep people around just by paying them because you got to pay them a lot of money now to overcome, you know, the game show factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. For sure.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, and we always talk about that. It's not opportunistic. It's an opportunity. And when there is a crisis, a war for talent, there are going to be winners and losers. And I think that this is the way, you know, what the advice you gave those CEOs is like, man, you really have to get clear about who you want in your organization, publicize that, and then make them feel valued and dignified.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this. I studied economics and I use very little of it because I don't remember a lot. I remember the supply and the demand curve and that's about it. But something that goes with that is what's happening right now. We talk about inflation. It's like the cost of living out here, like we're in California and the whole nation is experiencing this, but it's harder and harder to get an employee to come in to work at a place and make not that much money. Mm-hmm. And which is why a burrito costs $15 now.
Yeah. Right.
And why it costs $12 to get a to go to Baskin Robbins and get a smoothie or something. Mm-hmm. And it's because, well, you can't get people to work there. You have to pay them more.
Right.
So the more people that are staying home because they don't have to work means we have to pay more people to come into work, which means we have to pay more for the stuff we get. So I just made a connection between inflation and this whole war for talent.
Your professor would be so proud.
The second time in my life I've applied my major to my job.
Super practical.
Thank you to my college, Claremont McKenna College. Yeah. All right. Well, that's today's podcast. The war for talent is brutal. We have to do the best we can to keep our best people, to attract other people, and hopefully we'll stimulate our competitors to do the same. And it will be a rebirth in making places of work really dignified and compelling. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We love having you on the podcast. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.